prayer. I'd like to thank the congregation here at Kent Church of Christ for the support and love that they show, not just to me, but to everyone. It's a blessing. I don't take it very personal with the leadership here, how they have helped me grow, not just the leadership, but congregation members, how they have helped me grow in Christ. It's really a joy. I came a long way in life. So this lesson is very personal, and I hope it's personal to you. The title of my lesson is, Do Not Live for Yourself. Do not live for yourself. Let's go in prayer. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day that you've given us, dear Lord, that we're able to come together as a family in Christ to give you worship and praise, Lord. Father, I pray that the word of God come forth and pierces one's heart, Lord. I pray that I can deliver the message, Father, correctly, Father, and honestly. I thank you for all that you've done for me in my life. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they will come forth and say, what must I do to be saved? And if it is someone here, and everyone, Father, who knows Christ as your Savior, and they're going through times, Lord, I pray, Father, they examine themselves and not live for themselves. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he was to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's make this personal. What would it profit you if you gained the whole world and forfeit your soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? The definition of a soul: the non-material element of man, the most important part of a human existence, which lives on after the death of the body and will ultimately be joined again with a resurrected body to spend eternally in the heavens or the lake of fire, hell itself. We live in a time period where individuals are focused on themselves. For example, I'm willing to help, but what benefits will I gain by helping you? And if, there's that word if, we learned that Wednesday night in Bible study, conditional, a choice. And if we are not careful, the sinful nature within us can cause us to think more highly of ourselves. Amen, somebody. Prideful nature. The sinful nature within us can cause us to think more highly of ourselves. Christians are not exempt from this. See, because we all have a sinful nature within ourselves. If you're in Christ, or if you're out of Christ, you still have a sinful nature. The thing is, when you're out of Christ, your sinful nature dominates you. But if you're in Christ, your sinful nature should be controlled by you if you're living in the Lord. See, we are not exempt by this. There's a teaching in denominationalism that says, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. That is a lie. See, you have a choice. There's a condition. There's a choice that you have to make in your life. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Instruction in righteousness. That means you have a choice. You have a choice to live righteous by the instruction manual, the word itself, or you have a choice to live unrighteousness, to do your thing, to live for yourself. The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsake not the assemblies of ourselves together. There is a reason why we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Because we, as Christians, we need to encourage one another. We need to show love towards one another. Because why? We do not want to live for ourselves. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, we're going to see the downfall of someone who decide to live for themselves. This chapter is speaking on Satan himself, Lucifer. And it says here in verse 12, how you have fallen from the heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart. Now the Bible says that Satan said in his heart. It's not his human heart. It's in his mind. He said in his mind, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly. I will ascend above the heights of clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Now, if Satan can say something like this, and he can fall down and make a decision to do what's wrong, are we exempt? Are we exempt? If we make the choice not to live for God, are we exempt by living for ourselves and doing what's wrong, and where we ought to sit back and look and examine ourselves constantly to make the right choice? If the choice that you make is of God, don't live for yourself. Another example, Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon thought highly of himself also. Solomon, as a young man, in his own experience, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I enlarge my works. I build houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens. I planted them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water. I bought males and female slaves. I possessed flocks. I collected for myself silver and gold and treasure of kings. I provided for myself. Then I became great and increased more. And I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. I. The same thing that Satan did, because he was living for himself. And that trickled down to human mankind, that Solomon said, I. Where is the praise for God? Where is the worship for God? His focus was on himself. Don't live for yourself. Now Solomon looks back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and Solomon looks back over his life 70 years later, and he realized everything that he did was vanity and vexation to his soul. And he says in chapter 12, verse 13, the conclusion, when all has been heard, to fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, and everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. 70 years later, he understood that what he was doing when he was a young man was wrong. How much time do we have? Will it take us 70 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years to realize that we are not able to live for ourselves if we call ourselves to be in Christ? What profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's make this verse personal in our own lives. This is the question I want to ask you tonight. For Christians, is God your first priority in your life? Is God your first priority? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't think about your loved one. Is God your first priority in your life? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And for those individuals who are not Christians, let me ask you this question. Why isn't God a priority in your life? For those who are not walking in Christ, why is not God a priority in your life? Let us first understand what it looks like to live for yourself, to be prideful. Let's make it simple, to live in sin. For example, it's all about me. I'm number one. It's all about me. I'm number one. That's what it looks like to live for yourself. The Bible teaches us that we ought to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Christ. Secondly, never having the desire to help others. That's what it looks like to live for yourself. Never having the desire to help others. A simple word, selfishness. Number three, to be double-minded. James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A wavering mind. Your foundation is shaky. You don't know what direction that you want to go in. One moment you're this way. One moment you're that way. You're people-pleasing. You don't have a made-up mind. You're not focused. You're double-minded. You can't be trusted. You're a manipulator. You're a con artist. See, God expects us to be righteous, to be holy, to be truthful, to be honest. Well, that process starts not only receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, but you realize right away you have to deny yourself. You must pick up your cross and follow Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we have a story of the rich young ruler. It was all about him. He never had the desire to help others. He was double-minded. But he wanted to follow Christ. It wasn't about him. He was double-minded. But he wanted to follow Christ. It doesn't work that way. That's not Bible. That's not what Christ went to the cross for. And that's not why he resurrected. Verse 16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing should I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Jesus, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And the rich young ruler said to him, "Which one?" And Jesus said, "You should not commit a murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you should love your neighbor as yourself." I like that last commandment. See, Jesus got himself in the, he knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient, all-powerful. See, he already knew the rich young ruler's heart. He knew he was selfish. He knew that he couldn't deny himself. He knew that he was living for himself. So Jesus said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He was putting him on the spot, but he didn't even know that. And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I lacking?" In other words, the rich young ruler said, "I pride myself in the law." There's that word, "I." "I've kept every ceremonial rule. I'm a teacher of spiritual pride. I was circumcised on the eighth day. And I'm a Jew. What am I lacking?" And Jesus tells him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Jesus tells him, if conditional, that choice, you truly want to be complete. If you truly want to be complete, because you said you wanted eternal life. If you truly want to be complete, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Matthew 6:24. But when the young man heard this statement, what statement? That Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. See, Jesus put him on the spot, because the last commandment that Jesus said you need to follow is, you should love your neighbor as yourself. He wasn't willing to give up those things because it was all about him. Actually, he had a heart condition. He had selfishness. But when a young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Oh, Lord, I'm willing to have everything that you want me to do. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. But the possessions of this world, I'm not willing to give up. So my question is tonight, what are you holding on to that can cause you not to follow Christ? See, you can't live for yourself. If you're in Christ, you can't live for yourself. Self-examination. We should be doing as Christians, self-examination of ourselves every single day. It starts with baptism. Then after that, we have a responsibility to examine ourselves to see where we at as we walk in Christ. You have something. You always have something that you can work on. We're not exempt. There's still a sinful nature within us that wants to come forth to be disobedient. It's up to us for the instruction manual, the word of God, that we take because God has given it to us through his son Jesus. Now let's make it personal. I attend church service every Sunday morning. I attend church service every Sunday night. I attend church service Wednesday night Bible study. I'm active in the church. I pray. I give. I. These things are outward works of manifestation. But God is concerned that which is inwardly, the heart. Listen, I'm not telling you not to come to church Sunday morning. Chad would be really upset with me. I'm not telling you not to come Sunday night. I'm not telling you not to come on Wednesday. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm not telling you not to give. Those are commands by God. But what I am saying is, why do you do what you do? What is the reason? Is it for a show? Or is it really to deny yourself and actually serve the Lord? The rich young man said with his mouth, I want to have eternal life, but his mind, his heart, said through his actions, I want to live for myself. His actions said he wants to live for himself, but his mouth said he wants to have eternal life. We have a saying down south, you have big toot, but you have no fruit. Toot, 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 but you have no fruit. For those who say they want to have eternal life, and you show an action behind it, this makes sure when you show the action that your lifestyle adds up to what you say. Are we generating fruit? Because if you're tooting, there should be some fruit. Now let's take a time to look at what it looks like to live for the Lord. There will be perfect peace whose mind is kept on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. Whose mind is kept on thee, he will keep you in perfect peace. Is your mind on Christ? Secondly, to understand love, to be patient, not to be jealous, not to boast or be arrogant. For those who want to live for the Lord, you have joy. That joy is walking in Christ. Thirdly, you shall want to share the plan. See, that's the exciting moment right there. See, you want to share the plan. What is the plan? The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Don't you want folks to get saved? Where were you at when you came into the Lord? What were you doing when you came into the Lord? Obviously, there was something that you may not have been doing correctly in your mindset. And you knew that God was the only way to get you on the yellow brick road. You want to share that plan. Secondly, you want to share the purpose. Well, what is the purpose? To overcome sin. There's a cesspool out here in this world where people need to hear the gospel. October 2nd, 2008, I needed to hear the gospel. And after that, I still need to hear the gospel. Because there was a lot of growing up in my life. I'm not speaking for nobody else, but there's a lot of growth that has to take place in my life in order for me to stay, to keep my mind, to be peaceful, to keep my mind on the Lord. Thirdly, to share the perspective which is in Christ. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Share the plan, share the purpose, and share the perspective. When you do those things, you're not living for yourself. Living for ourselves can cause us to think highly of ourselves. And when we begin to think highly of ourselves, it starts a trickling downfall. And when we begin to fall downwardly, I'm telling you, when we begin to fall downwardly, there is a challenge to get back up again. We don't have to go through that. For us, believers, we have a responsibility to show the world that Christ liveth and there is a hope of glory within us. Through his blood. God has a plan, and that plan is through his son, Jesus, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Repent of past sins. Confess faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized in Christ. And this is the most challenging part right here. Being faithful until death. Being faithful until death. Oh, we can do it. We can do it. Keep encouraging yourself. Encourage others. Be there for one another. See, we're supposed to be different from the world. Amongst ourselves as believers, we should not be putting fires out amongst ourselves. I had a friend of mine, Brother Pearsall, back in North Carolina at Central Church of Christ when I first came into the Lord. He said, Melvin, we spend more time putting fires out amongst believers than we do spending time ministering the gospel of Christ. We should not be spending more time putting fires out amongst ourselves than we do spending time of telling those about the gospel. Don't live for yourself. Don't live for yourself. Do not live for yourself. What profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit you, to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What profit you to live in Christ? There's some profit behind it. There's a peace of mind. It feels good to know to do what's right, because we have the instruction manual to live in righteousness. For those who don't know Christ as their Savior, I encourage you to get with someone here tonight and ask, what must I do to be in Christ? And if not tonight, if you don't feel comfortable with that, there's enough individuals around who are in Christ. Ask the deacons. Ask who the deacon is. Ask who the elder is. Ask who the minister is. Let me tell you something. This leadership here, they do not mind taking the time to speak with you. And if the leadership doesn't mind to take time to speak with you, how do you think the congregation of believers are? Because that trickles down. Because they teach us that. They teach us that. You're blessed by the best. You're standing on top and won't be stopped. You're not moved by what you see. What you see now is only temporarily, that you're a child of God, fully accepted by the Father. Abundance is God's will for you, and you should not settle for less. That you're a new creature, predestined for greatness, heir to the blessings of Abraham, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Don't live for yourself. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for the covenant that we have with you, Father. We thank you, Lord, on this day, that you, on this day, Lord, you got up for us. Now, Lord, let us get up for you and live the responsible life as believers. And for those who don't know Christ, they come forth to live a responsible life for you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.